Welcome to the Simple Gospel Church podcast, raising a generation that will stand for Christ.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Before we have our seats, let's just say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We praise your holy name. Father, we thank you because while we are not worthy, we are here. And this is by your grace. Be exalted in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord God, we thank you because the banner that you have over us is love. Thank you because, Lord, you lead us fearlessly, Father, in the darkness. And it is by your grace that we can live and move. Be exalted in Jesus' name. Lord, even as we go into your word, as we learn about you, Father, illuminate our hearts and our minds in the name of Jesus. Let your word sink into our hearts, O Lord, that, Lord, we'll be truly citizens of your kingdom. For it is in Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, today we are, as Pastor Billy alluded to, today is indeed Palm Sunday. And people are already showing that it is Palm Sunday. I went out briefly, and as I was coming back, my street was already filled with individuals with their palm fronds and everything. And they were all marching across the streets, blowing their trumpets, beating their drums. And I said, oh, that's true. Today is indeed Palm Sunday. And people are going out and about and celebrating it. Today we are going to be looking again at the miracles of Jesus. This is our third teaching on this particular theme. Last week we learned about it. And our text today is going to be taken from the book of Luke chapter 17. It seems Luke is our friend today. We have been finding ourselves in this book all through the service. Luke chapter 17, and we'll be reading from verse 7. From verse 7 to verse 19. From verse 7 to verse 19. The Bible says, which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. Verse 11, and it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed between, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith had made thee whole. Amen. This is the miracle of the 10 lepers. But I also wanted us to look at what came before the preceding verses. That's why we started from verse 7. Last week, when we were being taught by Pastor Billy, he told us about the miracle of Jesus when he went to call his disciples. And one of the things that we learned there was that first and foremost, he asked to make use of Peter's boat. And then when he did that, and it was when he was done, that he then told Peter that, okay, cast your net on the side for a catch. And Peter obeyed. And when he obeyed, he caught an abundance to the point whereby the net was breaking. And one of the key lessons that we picked up from there was the understanding that ultimately, if we're going to get anything from our Lord and our Master, we must understand that it's going to come through service. We must have done something first. We're going to serve His ends before we are going to get anything of our own. And interestingly, what we find here is something quite similar. And so in verse 17, when he talked about it from verse 7, he mentioned something. He said, "But which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by when he has come in from the field, go sit down and meat." In this situation, what Jesus was essentially saying was that there is no master that would come in and then see his servant and tell the servant that, you've come in from work. I'm going to sit down, I'm going to eat. I'll be here, I'll be hungry, don't worry. Just enjoy yourself. And then after that, then maybe I can come and sort myself out. Instead, it's something different. He said he's going to serve the master's needs first, and that later they can go and eat. We learned the same lessons that we were learning last week, which is to understand that if we are going to serve this master and serve this king, we must understand that we are going to serve him. That we are going to have to do the things that he wants, the things that are for his kingdom first, before we are going to be able to get any rewards. But what was most important for us to learn here is that Jesus was showing us here that he is indeed a king. He is a king. And Pastor Billy talked about it when we were about to start prayers. And we read from the chapter just after this one, where there was a triumphant entry and Jesus was coming in. And that was essentially, it was being done because it was, again, acknowledgement of his kingship. Because when a king is riding into a city, there's a whole entourage of people who are bowing, who are waving, who are cheering him on as he does so. We saw it in the Old Testament when David was coming in with the Ark of Covenant. There was a lot of praise and there was a lot of singing and a lot of waving and all of that. And here what we find is that Jesus is again talking about his kingship. See, what we must learn is that in the Old Testament, when the Israelites rejected God as their king, and they said that they wanted a king like the other nations, and God told Samuel, said that they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. And what he did was that he said, okay, you want a king, you'll get one. But here are the things a king does. He's going to use your people. He's going to get the best for himself. He's going to do all of those things. He said so because that is how kings are. The difference is that earthly kings, being human as they are, flawed as they are, the things that they do can come off as excesses. Which is why when you read this passage without understanding the goodness and the kingship of Jesus, it might sound harsh at first. When you read it, you say, but these guys have been suffering. Shouldn't they at least eat something, rest, recharge before going back out to work again? But not so. Jesus said here that no, instead what they are going to do is that they are going to serve. They are going to take care of the things of the master first. And then later, they can go about and eat. A king does not say thank you. Jesus does not owe you a miracle. He is king. He doesn't thank you for a job well done. He doesn't apologize because he has offended you in some way or the other, because he can't. And even if he offends you, it's your fault, it's not his. And it's something that as believers we must recognize. Something that ties this story to what comes next is this sense of entitlement. And we saw it with the men who were healed. Only one came back to give praise to God. What happened to the others? That one was a Samaritan. We know for sure that a bunch of the ones that did not come back were Jews. And there must have been this sense of entitlement that we are the chosen ones of God now, so we are supposed to be healed. So why bother? Let's just go on and do what it is that he said we should do, and let's carry on with our lives. And we can't go about living that way and expect to maintain the miracles that God or Jesus gives to us. We must recognize, we must know our place. Can we say that? Know your place. Know your place. Like, we have to know our place. It's only when we understand that we can begin to walk in the reality of being citizens of the kingdom of God. It is only then, when we know who we are. The servant said something here. They said that we have only done our duty. We are unprofitable servants. We must recognize that everything that we do for Jesus, we're not paying him. It's not like we've done this thing that has given him this huge advantage suddenly. No. Because he's God. Even the grace to do the things, to obey in the sense of obedience, is by his grace. Not by your strength. Not by your power. Not by anything that you have done. It is his grace. And we must recognize that Jesus is a king and would do as he pleases and would do what he will. But on the other side of that, we also see something. We also see the compassionate nature of Jesus Christ. Because while he owes us no miracles, he does for us regardless. And that is why Jesus is so powerful. There's something that people say, like at the end of the day, strength can only come from someone who is dangerous. Like only true mercy can only come from someone who is considered dangerous. It's only because the fact that someone can hurt you that their pardon means something. So if a scrawny individual, if you were to step on their toe and you were to walk past them and everything, and the person tells you that, bros or madam, what do you think you just did here? Say sorry. And you look at him and you're like, this tiny person, you know. So Ben, that if he's throwing punches, you can just do like this and hold him back and he won't be able to touch you. That kind of person, you won't. If the person now looked at you and said, just be going and I just say, let me pity you, would you be able to appreciate it? You wouldn't. You know? On the other hand, if you're passing on the streets and those boys that play street football, they're there on either side, they're playing football and everything. And for some reason, maybe you stepped on one and you're passing and with their big chest and everything. And they say, hey, bros. And they say, sorry. And they say, they go. Now you're not be, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. I don't have to nurse a black eye today. Or I don't have to deal with a broken rib or anything of the sort. And it is because of that strength of Jesus that we can really see his compassionate nature when he heals and when he performs his miracles. Jesus is compassionate. He owes us nothing, yet he has essentially indebted himself to us in a sense. He has essentially put himself to us that I will do these things for you. Therefore, every advantage, everything that we receive, we must understand that it is through the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. And so, what that means for us is that when we recognize this, then we can move in the way that we are supposed to. The miracle that Jesus performed here, like at the end of the day, what we see, what are miracles? Because what you would find is that a miracle is only a miracle to us. To Jesus, it's just Tuesday or just Sunday. He's just doing what he will and what he can. But at the end of the day, a miracle is supposed to do something. And that's one of the things we also learned last week. A miracle is essentially a sign. And if you use one of those Bible that breaks things into like headings in your listing, if you read the book of John, a lot of times what he says is the first sign, the second sign, third sign. And when he talks about those things, when he's breaking down, you know, the chapters and he's putting headings to them, it essentially means that those signs, which were miracles, were signs that are pointing to the Messiahship of Jesus Christ, pointing to his Godhood, that he is indeed King. And so in this regard, we find a situation where Jesus does that again, where he heals these men. And that's another lesson we can take from it, in that when he healed them, he did not explicitly tell them that you are healed. And then suddenly, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And I mean, nothing had happened at that point. And he shows us something also that, and Pastor Billy pointed it out, said that when we're first given instruction, it doesn't make sense. And it's the same vein here, that we must move in faith. We must move in faith. If we are going to receive a miracle from Jesus, we must move in faith. When he tells us to do something, we must go ahead and do it. We must do it. Because if we don't, you can't get anything out of it. I must recognize that it's not Jesus losing. We're the ones that lose in that scenario. So if you're holding back and you're saying that, I will obey when this and this clicks, then you're on your own. And they moved and they were cleansed. But then we see what happens next. The Bible tells us that of all of them, only one person turned back to go and give thanks to God. So he went with a loud voice, he glorified God. He didn't hide it. And for many of us, it's a pointer for our lives. When God does something for us, do we loudly give him thanks? Are we effusive? Do we give him all the glory for what he has done in our lives? Because only one person went back. And then what happened was very interesting. Jesus asked, he said, where are the other nine? We're not 10 cleansed, or we're not 10 healed. And after the person had given thanks to Jesus, he said that, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Some versions will say your faith has saved you. And that's interesting. Because on the one hand, some people were healed. And on the other hand, someone was saved. Someone was made whole. Therefore, we must recognize that healing is not what saves us. Healing is not the same thing as being saved. Healing is not the same thing as being whole. Jesus is inviting us into a relationship with him. But for us to enter into that relationship, there must be an acknowledgement of his kingship. And so it was when the former leper, at this point, because he was no longer a leper, when he came back and he glorified God, and he said he went face down before Jesus to give him thanks. That was a sign of deep reverence. He may not have recognized that Jesus was God. No, probably didn't. But there was a deep reverence for the person through whom this thing had come to be. And it was when that happened that Jesus told him that your faith has made you whole. Meaning that there was something extra that this person that came back had received. Sometimes I give examples here using video games, and this might be the only analogy that works for it. There are some video games that you would finish. And you finish the game, you do all the things that you are supposed to do in the game, and you just say, okay, let's pack it up, we finished it, and you go and sit down. But then interestingly, there are some people that when they finished all the things that they are supposed to do within the game, there are this one or two extra things that they usually try to do that are not necessary, but they do it anyways. And then they find out that it unlocks either a secret ending to the game, or you bring some other scenario that was not there before. A piece of extra content that only a few people get to enjoy because they took the time to actually explore the game that they were playing. And this is something like that, in that if we were to receive from Jesus and then all we do is just walk away, then sure, Jesus will heal. Jesus is not holding back this thing. He's not being stingy with it. But then we lose out of something even deeper. Our whole self being saved. And it is then that we can truly enjoy the benefits of the kingdom of God. It is then we can enjoy the benefits of the kingdom of God. And so, we must have, some people like to call it an attitude of gratitude, yes? An attitude of gratitude. Because only then can we unlock the true benefits of this Christian journey. Gratitude for the opportunity to be servants as we are. Gratitude for what God and Jesus have done in our lives. And that's the only thing that can unlock the true benefits. Because gratitude is a recognition of your place. It's knowing fully well that I could not have done this by myself. This was not something that I could have pulled off just by my brain power, or just by my resources, or just by my understanding, or just by anything of the sort. It's a recognition of that. That's what gratitude is. The leper that came back to give glory to God recognized that this was not just something that just happened to me. How much gratitude do we exhibit in our lives, in our day-to-day activities, for the ability to serve God if we are serving Him? And if we are not serving Him, He's calling us into a relationship today. He continues to call us into that relationship to give our all to Him, to serve Him first. Jesus does not say thank you, but He gives rewards. Because that's what a king does. A king is not going to thank you. A king is not going to apologize to you. I remember a video of a man who said he had a vision of Jesus and that he had been offended. And he said he had a vision that Jesus came to him and Jesus started to apologize to him with tears in his eyes. And it was at that point that I said, this does not come from God. Because that's not what He does. We must recognize Jesus as King. Because it is then that we would know the things that He does. We're not going to expect anything from Him that, oh my God, I've done this great thing for the kingdom of God, so I should get thanks. I should get some honor. They should announce my name during announcements that this person did this great thing for the church. No. It's your duty. But it is when we fulfill that duty with gratitude, knowing that we are indeed worthless. And the only worth we have comes from what Jesus has given to us. It is only then that we can truly enjoy being in His kingdom. Being in His kingdom. And so, just to wrap up, I want us to remember what was said earlier. Jesus does not owe us anything. He doesn't owe us any miracles. He doesn't owe us any situation, anything at all. But at the same time, He does these things for us out of His compassion, out of His great love. And when He does these things for us, then we must have the requisite gratitude to Him. Because only then can we be whole. If not, like the other nine, they received their healing, but were they saved? Probably not. But this one person, in acknowledgement of who Jesus was saved. He was healed. Your miracle that you're expecting is not the end. That miracle that you're expecting, that testimony that you want to give, is not the end. And let's not think it's the end. Let's not think that that's all that Jesus has for us. Because at the end of the day, those 10 or those other 9 men that were healed, that's all they will get. That's the end for them. That's it. Because at the end of the day, when Jesus does these miracles, there are signs of the fact that He can do much more. If He can cleanse this man without even touching them, simply telling them, go show yourself to the priest. That's all He did. He didn't touch them. He didn't pour water on them. He didn't even tell them to go and bathe in the River Jordan 7 times like happened with Naaman in the book of Kings. He just told them. Then how much more can He do for you and for me if we come completely and utterly into His service? And we serve only Him. And we give ourselves and all and our all to Him. And I pray that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we rise even as we pray? I just want us to speak to the Lord today. And tell Him that, Lord, I am fully in Your service. I am fully in Your service, O Lord. I am fully in Your service. Father, I place myself second. I want us to tell Him that, Father, I place myself second. I place my ambitions second. I place my desires second. I place everything second. Lord, I put you first. Father, give me the grace to put you first. Always. In all things, at all times and in all places, that I will put you first, O Lord. Father, Lord God, we ask for the grace to put you first in all things. Father, Lord, we declare it this morning that, Lord, we put you first. And Father, that our needs, our wants, every other thing comes second, comes secondary. Recognition of you is the only way that we can truly receive from you, can truly unlock the benefits that exist in you. For it is in Jesus' name we have prayed. Father, we thank you. Thank you for taking us from the kingdom of darkness and bringing us into the kingdom of the Son that you love. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for listening to this message. The Simple Gospel Church is a church arm of World Impact Ministries, dedicated to taking the gospel all over the world.